Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. If I can just have a little bit of indulgence this morning, it's got nothing to do with church. It's got to do with football.
Don't tell me you're a Cowboys supporter.
No. But my request is to Manchester United tonight that they would beat Liverpool. I would be so grateful. I would be so very grateful. I'm glad to see everybody here this morning, and welcome if this is your first time here to C3 Kwinana. You've joined us at a time where today we begin a new series. In fact, I just want to welcome my brother and his family all the way from Bunbury. Yes. So that's a bit of a trek to come from Bunbury. So we are very grateful for having you guys in our midst this morning. As we get older, or as we live life, we come across decisions that we make, and then we recognize that no matter what stage or season of life you are, we need wisdom to live life. Amen to that?
Amen.
How many of you have ever made a foolish mistake here and are willing to admit? Oh, yes, lots of people are willing to admit. They've made. And so at times when you make those foolish mistakes or you get yourself into a bit of trouble, you start using the words, "If only I had listened." And I was 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a family in at the Fremantle campus, and we're just talking about kids, you know, and how kids don't listen, and they don't listen to their parents. And I said, we were the same. And I said, you see, when I was growing up, I used to say I would rather be beaten than to have the conversation, the lecture, because I understand that once you get beaten, it's all over. But once you, if you have the lecture, you have to deal with the words. You know, the parents go on and on, but also the words linger in your memory. And the saddest part, you see, is that, let's say they warned you not to do something, and then you did it, and the consequences of that warning you're now dealing with, now you start to say, oh, if only I had listened to my parents, my life would have been so much better off. And I always say, if only I had studied when I was encouraged to study, maybe I would have become a doctor. But because I didn't, I just became an accountant. You know, if only I had studied when they say, wake up and study, I used to fall asleep. You know, I can count on my hands the times I ever did homework at school. Now, my encouragement to those that are still at school, do your homework, because it might help you. And so people the world over they do what's within their power to get an edge on how to live a successful life. They scour books, they read books, and they listen to podcasts, and they watch online content. They travel the world to hear people speak so that they can just find ways to live successful lives. For us as human beings, we are seeking to succeed or be successful in many different areas. But I've grouped just four main areas. Now, there could be more, but these, I think, are the four main ones that we deal with on an ongoing basis and at different times and points in our lives. Our health. So when you're young, you're always active, you're doing stuff at school, so your health is not really a big concern. When you start to sort of like move into the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, health all of a sudden elevates in the level of its importance. But also, you see, we've got our emotional health, we've got our mental health that, you know, we got to sort of like make sure that we're taking care of. And then there's also our spiritual health. We've got financial stuff that we have to deal with. That's another area where we start to ask ourselves, Can I afford to pay my bills? Can I afford my rent? What about my mortgage? I've got so many things that I need to deal with. And so all of a sudden, financial issues in our life begin to take some level of precedence. We then have the question of career and purpose in life. What am I going to do with my life after I leave school? Or I'm in the middle of my career and I don't like it. What am I going to do next? And then there's the question that all of us may have asked ourselves at one time or another. Why am I on earth? Why has the Lord placed me on earth? What purpose am I serving? Am I just there to be a parent to my children? And that's about it. Is there more to my life? And then most importantly, another area that we haggle with, that we require a lot of wisdom and decisions that we make around, is around relationships. As human beings, we're constantly asking ourselves, you know, or we want to get better at relationships. Who can I be friends with? Who can I not be friends with? Who should I marry? Should I get a divorce? Those are all questions we ask ourselves. And at one time or another, should I cheat on my spouse? That's sometimes a question, you know, you can, this is what happens in life. These are some of the things that happen. And I've noticed that generally, when you look at music and film, somehow all these areas are encapsulated in music and film. And so in R&B music, rap music, we're talking about greed, we talk about sex, we talk about, you know, cheating, and then there's lots of wonderful songs of heartbreak, of love, wonderful films on love and heartbreak and greed and wanting stuff and accumulation of things. And I recall possibly now, probably 3 weeks ago, I was just doing my own thing. It was just on a Friday afternoon. And I recall just saying, something just blurted out of my mouth. I said, Lord, help me to live life well. Help me to live life well. And I guess the question is that, Lord, I want to be good at living life, where I possibly make the right decisions at the right time. And so on our journey in life, and no matter what season you are in, we all need wisdom to be able to live our lives and to be able to answer questions that come up in terms of the obstacles that we may face or the opportunities that come our way. And over the last few years, I start every year, I read the book of Proverbs. I read nothing else but the book of Proverbs from 1 January to 31st of January. So I read a proverb a day, which can sometimes be a lot. You know, because some go for maybe 30, 40 verses, and you're like, oh, this is too long. I would prefer it if the Bible was cut in half. But, you know, we got to read it. It's all important. And so it's just a practice because, you know, you want to get better. You want to be guided, get better at doing life. And so Proverbs, as I've discovered over these times, is packed with many jewels for living life. Life is already difficult. We've got a lot of pressures that are coming our way. And it's very important that we get good at living and doing life well in whatever season of life that we're in. If we're parenting, that's the kind of help that we need. If you're single, all of a sudden you're going to be asking yourself different questions. Oh, I want to start looking for a partner. Who should I find? So these are all these things that we're dealing with. And so Proverbs is packed with many jewels. And as a matter of fact, the whole Bible is packed with full of jewels. And the question we're trying to answer today is, how do we get on the path to wisdom? And so this is the beginning of our wisdom series that's going to go for 2 weeks. And then after that, I think we're going to start going into The Bait of Satan, a book study by John Bevere. So we'll be speaking about it on a Sunday, and then in the Connect groups, that's what we're going to be following for a few, well, up until we finish the book, but the series will go for probably 4 weeks. And so how do we get wisdom, and how do we cultivate good judgment in our lives? Because all of us are faced with decisions that we need to make. And the question is always, am I making the right decision? What does God think of the decisions that I'm making or the decisions that I have made? Proverbs 1, verse 1 to 7 says, "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions. For I, too, was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me, 'Take my words to heart. Follow my commands and you will live. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment.'" And before I finish this, my grandfather always used to say, when he was looking to discipline, he would say, "I have been your age and you haven't been mine. So listen to what I have to say to you." I have been your age, and you know, you always roll your eyes to say, what does this old person know? And we forget that these parents of ours were once children that had parents. And you know it so well when all of a sudden you've got children that when you start to talk, they're looking at their phones. Back in the day, we used to have watches. But now they're looking at their phones thinking, oh, here we go. This is going to go on and on and on forever. But then he goes on to say in verse 5, "Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her and she will guard you." And he says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. And so wisdom typically refers to the ability to make sound decisions and to apply knowledge and experience to practical solutions. It involves deep understanding of our human nature and the ability to see the long-term consequences of our actions. We are the only ones that can do that. We can see the long-term consequences of our actions. So I know that, let's just say I'm looking to buy a house, for instance. The bank says, oh, look, you can buy a house worth $600,000. That's your borrowing capacity. You can buy a house. But they tell me that, but I know with all my other commitments, maybe I'll be more comfortable with a loan worth $400,000. But then instead I choose to go for the full six. I know that it's only a matter of time before pressure comes my way. And this is what happens, is that as we look at wisdom, we're able to assess things and work out the implications of where our decisions are going. On the other hand, I decide that, I would like to, I'll throw this one out there. Maybe, cheat on my spouse. I know the consequences of, you can predict that if I do this, such and such and such and such and such is going to happen down the track. So we're able to sequence through all the implications and consequences of the decisions that we make. And this is what wisdom allows us to be able to do. Good judgment is the ability to make sensible decisions and choices based on a thorough evaluation of all the available information and the likely outcomes. And so when we exercise good judgment in our decision making, this is what happens when we exercise good judgment. We assess the situation. We consider the risks and the benefits. We make thoughtful and prudent decisions. It involves critical thinking and some rational analysis. And we weigh the different options to arrive at a well-seasoned conclusion. This is what happens when we're starting to exercise good judgment. And this is irrespective of whatever season of life that you're in. We are all going to need to make decisions. And so we're going to require wisdom and good judgment when we make those decisions. So the proverb gives us three instructions. If we're going to achieve our maximum success, three instructions before God, this is what we must do. It says you must get wisdom and understanding. We must get wisdom and understanding. Secondly, it says you must not forget wisdom once you learn it. And then lastly, you must not backslide away from obeying it. So we understand that the Bible is a good source document for getting wisdom. A lot of the things and a lot of, you know, in the self-help industry, which is just the proliferation of a lot of online content, and people say some really good things. Most of those things have been just taken from the Bible and repackaged in a way that sounds cool. They've taken away some of the Christian jargon and put, you know, normal, everyday kind of words. And so we know that the Bible is a great source document for wisdom. The other thing we need to do when we're looking to get wisdom is to listen to wise people who have experienced life. I have never been more desirous of helping elderly people in my life than when I was in Subiaco. And back then we were living in Port Hedland. We had come down to Perth. And whilst down there, I was waiting for a shop to open. And I saw this group of men of varying ages. None of them, it didn't seem, were in their 20s. They were like, you know, mid-30s. And they were, some of them had young kids. And there were some very, very old men. And I was so jealous to see that picture of that, whether it was a friend group or a family unit together, older people and younger people, because I was like, wow, what great wisdom lies within that collective that we are, these other young guys are able to glean and to understand how to do life better. Very jealous of that in a good way, because by then, that year, a few months before that, the last remaining uncle in my father's, or for my all my my father's brothers, passed away. And so here I am, you know, and I'm wishing, if only I had people that when things go left for me, I can run to. And I remember saying to myself, you know, if anything happens in life, at least I can go to my father's house. But when my father passed away, it's not the house that I cared about. It's the father that I was interested in. Couldn't do that. He's now gone. And so this is why when you look at this, and I'm so grateful for the varying ages that we have within our church. We've got young kids in there. We've got some youth in there. We've got some people in university. Others just starting off their career. Then we've got others that have finished that season of their life and at a different stage. And I think, is it not a blessing to have that collective wisdom of people that have walked the journey that we can actually lean on and rely on so that we don't make the same mistakes they made? Because a smart person learns from their own mistakes, but a wise person learns from the mistakes of others. Why make the mistake when somebody else has already made it for you? So, when I use this with my kids, I use the other word that just rams the point home. you'd be silly or stupid. I use that word just so that I can emphasize the point I'm trying to make. That learn from other people's mistakes, because you don't have to repeat those mistakes for your own life. Success in life is predictable. So is failure. You go down one road, the path to success, boom, there is a good fortune, and we don't necessarily mean money. It's just that life as life is hard, but things on most occasions will turn out very good for you. And if you go down the other way, well, we know the negative stuff that can happen. And this is why the scripture, especially in Proverbs, contrasts wisdom as a lady. She says, you know, find her and find comfort in her. Let her guide you. But it also uses, it shows that if you don't follow wisdom, it is like you're following a harlot, a prostitute, when you don't follow wisdom, because it will lead you astray when you don't follow the ways of wisdom. The second duty is to remember what you've learned. It is your duty to meditate upon the things you are taught and not let them slip away. You hold wisdom tight in your memory, and you must also obey it in your conduct. It's one thing to learn something. It's a whole other thing to do what the thing asks you to do. My challenge and my big problem is that I don't know how many books I've purchased and read, but the area that I struggle in the most is taking action from the things that I've learned in the book. I don't know how many of you have the same problem that I have. You see, you are always, you see, the devil doesn't mind you coming to church, you listening to something, reading a book, and getting all excited about it. The problem that he has is when you take action on the revelation that you've received. Because the challenge is always going to be the taking action on the revelation. So sometimes we are always asking, ooh, what's the latest thing? But not asking ourselves, well, have I done the old thing that I was supposed to do before I start focusing on the new thing? The saying, when we were taught this at primary school, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. What if that were true? What is it that they were trying to say when they told us that? What they meant was to encourage us to live healthy lives. It doesn't mean that if you eat an apple a day, there's no empirical evidence that would suggest that, you know, the doctor will stay away. But it's really just an encouragement to say, be purposeful and intentional about living a healthy life. Similarly, when it comes to if you want to be good with people, good in your relationships, don't talk about people behind their back. Don't, if you've got a problem with someone, go and talk to them about it. Don't gossip. Clearly, that's a big one. Just don't gossip. If somebody comes and says, oh, by the way, you know what so-and-so said about you? No. I'll wait for so-and-so to come and tell me themselves. You're struggling in your area of finance, and the world is replete of guidance that you can get so that you can do better in your finances. And the start-off point is they normally say, do a budget. I want my finances to get better, but I don't want to do a budget. So what happens if you just do the simple things well? Then you give yourself an opportunity to do well in life. And so I wonder, what area of your life have you not taken action? What area of your life have you not taken action? And the third thing we must do, as the scripture instructs us in Proverbs chapter 4, do not backslide. You must do what you hear, for hearing by itself does not please God, and hearing without doing is a sin. In James it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in the mirror, and then as soon as you've walked away, you forget what your face looks like. What have you stopped doing that you need to start doing again? And I like this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. This is Paul talking to Timothy. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. We have to get better at embracing wisdom as our protector and as our guide in our lives. The scripture clearly says here is that in verse 7, do not forget, verse 6, do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. That's what David is saying. Don't turn away. And one of the key things we do is that we forget the things the Lord has said over us whenever it comes to whatever decisions that we make in our lives. Remember the disciples in the boat? They had forgot that the Lord said, let's cross over to the other side. And then when the storm arose, they all panicked. But it's because they had forgot the words that had been spoken over them. Jesus promises us and He says, I will be with you. Sometimes the Lord does not come and save us from our trouble, but He promises us that whilst you're in your trouble, I'll be with you. But because we don't feel Him, you know, we can't feel the Lord, what we do is that we then panic and we make poor decisions as a result. So when we embrace wisdom, we're inviting God's guidance and protection into our lives. We then allow wisdom to guide our decisions, our actions, and our interactions with other people. And I wonder, what happens when we don't embrace wisdom whenever it comes to the decisions that we have to make? And at times, I think an area that we failed, in an area that where we may struggle, is that we fail to evaluate or review previous decisions that we've made and that where we've messed up. We don't give it the time to reflect on those decisions to see what can we glean from them. What can we learn from what we've either done right or what we've done wrong? Because when we pick apart a personal disaster, it requires humility on our part as we examine what made us make these foolish decisions. Because we are going to make foolish decisions in our lives. That just comes part and parcel of being human beings. We make decisions that we later on get to regret. So the question I have for you today is experience the best teacher? Is experience the best teacher? I think experience, whether it's a negative or positive experience, only really helps us if we reflect on it, we learn the right lessons from it, and we change the right behaviors, and we change our behaviors as a result. Otherwise, we are then prone to repeat the same thing over and over again. So the answer to that question is that only evaluated experience is the best teacher. Only when we evaluate our experiences does it become a good teacher for us. What stops you and I from acquiring and embracing wisdom? It could be because we turn away willingly. We are rebellious. We know what the Lord says, but we choose to do things our own way. We are wise in our own eyes, and we chart off course. We decide to go left when the Lord is asking us to go right. In fact, we settle for second best instead of settling for the good that the Lord has for us. We have to recognize, you and I have to recognize that though we are converted, we gave our lives to the Lord, we are not fully sanctified. And as a result, you know, we have a propensity to want to stray. And it's very important that we see the subtle workings of our flesh, the influence of the world system around us, and the devil in our lives. And for example, the world system will say to you, hey, if you want to be with that woman or that man, do whatever you want to do it. Do whatever you want to do. Try before you buy. It's a common thing that they say. You got to do it before, otherwise how do you know? The influence of advertising in our lives that says this is the dream reality. Drive this so that you feel good about yourself. And then all of a sudden we are stretching ourselves and beginning to make foolish decisions that we will pay for in the long run eventually. And this is what we say, the influence of the world system in our lives. And because the Lord has the best for us. You see, just like the disciples panicked when the storms came, what happens is that when we take our eyes off the Lord, is that the storm of life will come. And it normally comes, you see, when we are so desirous for something. I want something. I want to be married. But there's this very beautiful woman or man that is not a believer. Because we know that the Lord, as we pray to him for stuff, he will do things in his own time. But because I want it, and I want it now, and I'm getting older in age, what I then say to him is that, Lord, don't worry. I know I'll do the selection. And so what you then do is that you go for something that is the second best of what God has for you. You partner yourself up with somebody that's not a Christian, for example. What that does is that it causes you to be in such a place where you are torn between, I love the Lord, and you genuinely love the Lord, but also you genuinely love this person as well. And so now what you do is that when you invest in that relationship, you start to battle with this, I love this woman, I love this man, but I love the Lord at the same time. And you start to live with this guilt in your lives. And sometimes we then think that, you know, I know that, okay, thank you, Lord. I'm going to date so-and-so so that when I date them, I'll be praying for them every day, and then you will save them. But on most occasions, and not all, what tends to happen? You tend to stop coming to church. Because the pressure now, this is very different, please, may I say this? This is different if you are both married and one of you becomes saved. I'm not talking about that. That's cool. I'm talking about when you decide to date somebody that is not a believer in the Lord. That puts a whole lot of pressure on you. And so what happens is that when we fail to wait for for God's best in our lives, what we do is that, as we say in Christian circles, when we don't go for what the best that God has for us, we compromise. We settle for less than what we could have got. But on top of all of this, what I like about this verse, this Proverbs chapter 4, probably goes for 27 or 28 verses. Verse number 23 for me is an important one as we bring this to a close. It says, guard your heart, for above all else, from it spring the issues of life. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. How we live our lives will be dependent on how well we guard our heart. Because the heart is the source of our thoughts, our attitudes, our beliefs and our actions. And the thing about our heart is that it drives our actions. It influences our thinking and then ultimately our behavior. Therefore, we need to be mindful of what we allow into our hearts. Because if we're not mindful, a whole lot of stuff flows from this. And I can say, you know, when I used to come from Port Hedland, and my plane would land at 4 in Perth, and then I'll, by the time I get to the hotel where work was, because I'd normally come for work, where work was accommodating me mostly on Murray Street. Mantra on Murray is where I would stay, which is very close to everything in the city. And I'd arrive at the hotel about maybe 20 to 5, or maybe 5 o'clock. And the first thing I would do is rush to go to Maya to go and see what I could buy. And I would go and buy, and that was just my practice. And the funny thing is that when I would buy clothes, let's just say I'm a 38, I would say, you know what? I'm going to buy myself a 36, because I know that in a few months' time, I'm going to lose some weight. No. And so I accumulated all these clothes, some with their tags on, for years. Up until one day, I went into Maya. And just a thought dropped in my head to say, you know, Stephen, if you take 2 trousers off the rack, they're going to replace it with 4 more. And just that thought of saying, you will never, these things don't run out, got me to realize that, oh my goodness, what I was feeding was a need in my life that wasn't a healthy need for me. And so up until I was able to embrace that and to understand that, I mean, I was just going to be spending like it was going out of fashion, because it was feeding a need. This is why it's important that we guard our hearts. Because what happens is that if we're just doing this unnecessary spending because it makes us feel some type of way, it's normally because there's something that is not addressed in our hearts. And as we close, I'll just invite everybody to stand this afternoon now. David, as he wrote Proverbs, challenged his son to get wisdom and insight, because nothing in life is as valuable as the wisdom to know and do God's will. And for us to be able to understand how to respond correctly to obstacles and opportunities. The reason why wisdom is more valuable than money is because you can ask me for money today, or you can ask somebody for money today, and they will give it to you. But if you don't have wisdom in how to use that money, you're going to go back to them tomorrow to ask for more money. So the best thing to ask for is to say, can you tell me how you were able to do that? Because if there's a pattern that they use to get what they got, you'll be able to replicate that pattern in your own life. And so whatever, you'll be able to respond correctly to obstacles and to opportunities. Solomon searched in vain for what he thought was truly valuable. He pursued knowledge and pleasure and wealth and honor. He started off on the right track, because when the Lord came to him and said, is there anything I can do for you? Instead of saying, Lord, give me money, he asked for wisdom to lead the people of God. And that was a great start. His only problem is that he didn't continue in that vein. The book of Ecclesiastes then traces his vain pursuits and concludes with this counsel. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Whatever stage of life we are, we all need an extra dose of wisdom that we can live our lives well, that we can live our lives according to the will and the purposes of God for our lives. And let us be guided by the scripture that says in Proverbs, the fear of God is the beginning of all knowledge and all wisdom. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, this afternoon, Lord God, that we need to embrace wisdom in our lives, that we will lead our best lives, that we would fulfill the will and the purpose of God for our lives. You said, Lord God, if any of you lacks wisdom, that we should ask you and that you give liberally and without reproach. But then you say that we should not be a man that easily wavers. And so, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would be your people that would live life according to your purposes and be guided by your word. Your word, Father, that is full of the experiences of how people have lived from the past and the mistakes they've made or the good things that they have done. But also, Lord God, we would value the collective wisdom that is within C3 Kwinana, that we can look to one another for guidance in whatever sphere and season of life that we're in, so that we may not make the same mistakes that other people have made, and that we can live, Lord, the life that you are calling us out to live. And Father, I pray for your people that you would bless them in all that they do, and as they leave this place, they would go in the confidence, Father, that you are just waiting to dish out wisdom to them, that you say there is safety in a multitude of counselors. Let us not forget that. Let us not forget your word, that your word says your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a wonderful week, and let's gather together in the foyer.